Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But we continue on our journey through the miracles of Jesus. We've covered probably about six of them or so already. There's only 30-something. We're not going to cover them all, but we're going to cover a bunch of them. And then we'll hit some of them as we go in between other sermons. But not forgetting that the purpose of miracles is twofold. Number one, the glory of God, the glory of Christ. Every single miracle is for one reason to start with, that God gets glory. All right? Don't you ever forget that. Number two, that we would believe in Jesus, that we would believe. So he gets the glory, we get to believe, and it results in life in Christ Jesus, a beautiful relationship. And today we're going to come out of Galilee, where Jesus Christ performed most of his miracles throughout his ministry, and we're going to go into Jerusalem, the holy city, the people, the center for religion and people. And you know that what's happening out there right now, it's painful, but yet it is expected to happen. So let's just pray for our people in Israel, and let's pray for those who are attacking Israel, that they may come to a conviction somehow that they're going against God's people. I want you to know something. God never fails a covenant. God never fails a covenant. God does not fail a covenant. I want you to remember that. He made a covenant with the people of Israel. Yet, he came into a new covenant with you and me through Jesus Christ. And with Israel, he has and he will finish up what he started in his covenant. And he will bring at the end the fulfillment of his covenant with Israel. How does he do that? I can't explain it to you. But God is so awesome that he never fails. He never turns back on you. He never turns back on me. He has never turned back on Israel. And at the end, he will work with Israel and the remnant that will believe in his son, Jesus Christ, because he never fails, and he will not. He will not abandon them, but we need to be praying for that situation, just like we prayed before for Ukraine, and we helped. We prayed for other disasters and things that happened, so please keep them in prayer. But let me read in John chapter 5, verse 1 through 17. Let's see what kind of miracles going on here. The healing at Bethesda. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. This is after some other healings had happened in Galilee, okay, near Cana, where he started, all right, the first miracle. And now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after stirring up of the waters, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, and he knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well? Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said that to you? Pick up your pallet and walk." But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Wow. What an amazing story. First of all, I want to clear up a couple of details before we get into some good principles that we can observe here. Now, we don't know what kind of feast was going on in Jerusalem. It just says there was a feast, but we don't know which one. But it doesn't matter which feast was happening at the time. What matters is the encounter that Jesus had with this man who was laying on a pallet, waiting to get into the waters of this pool so that he could be healed. We're looking at this miracle, okay? This is what we're looking at. No matter what feast was going on, it's what went on that day in that pool. So there's something also very important that we need to clarify about this passage. In verse 3 and verse 4, now you may have in your Bibles that when you look at verse 3, the second part, the latter part of verse 3 is in parentheses or marked. Or you may have a note in your Bible that says that this is not in some of the manuscripts, in the earlier manuscripts of the Bible, the last part of verse 3 and even verse 4. And the last part of verse 3 and verse 4 says, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first after the stirring of the water stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. So you may find in some Bibles all of that is omitted because it's not in some of the earlier manuscripts that have been found. Now, this is important. Because you may see, you're like, that's not in my Bible. Well, why is it in yours? Or why is it in the Bible then? I want you to understand something. This may be something that was added in later manuscripts later or something like that, but it gives meaning and sense and understanding to the passage. It does not take away from the passage. It does not change the passage. It clarifies the passage. Because when you look at the Bible, when you look at a little bit further, and when you hear the man telling the story, the man says to Jesus, "I'm trying to get over to the pool when the water is stirred, but I can't get there." Now, you see that? So if you didn't have the latter part of verse 3 and verse 4, you would not understand why the man is waiting for the waters to be stirred. Who's stirring the water? What's happening there? And verses 3 and 4 kind of give it some clarity for us to understand, all right? So I want you to understand that just in case you look at your Bible and you see that it's omitted. So but why then, you think about it, there had to be something special about this water. There had to be something happening there because you don't wait by a pool for 38 years to get in it. You know, you get in it. If there was nothing happening at the pool and that verse does not belong there, and there's nothing happening whatsoever at the pool, they're just waiting for people to get in and something and people getting healed. It doesn't make sense that a man 38 years laying there waiting to get in. I mean, in 25 years and 30 years and 38 years and 2 years, in 1 year, maybe in one day, he could have crawled in there. But there had to be something happening special at this pool. And there was a moving from an angel of the Lord that will stir up the waters. And whoever got in there first, that's who was healed. That's what was happening. And we believe that. Now, of course, there's another detail I want to clarify. Like I said, before we get into the core of the message here. Another thing is the Sabbath. Because you hear it mentioned that the Jews were like, wait a second. You're not supposed to carry that pallet because today is the Lord's resting day. You know, the Sabbath where everybody rests. Let me tell you something that the Jews had like 39, I think it's 39 things that you couldn't do on a Sabbath. They had made up a list of 39 things that you could not do on the Sabbath. And one of them was carrying your bed. You believe that? One of the 39 things that were prohibited to be done on the Lord's Sabbath was to carry your bed. So ladies, for you that like moving around the furniture at the house on a Saturday, don't do it. Right? Don't be carrying your bed around. on a Saturday, is what they're saying, right? On the Sabbath, on the resting day. But you see, they're more concerned about Jesus. I want you to think about this, because when they confront the man who had just been healed, I want you to think, these Jews were sitting by the pool. They were hanging around somewhere. They saw something, they heard it, and they were like, wait a second, what are you doing carrying that bed? Well, the man who told me to pick it up and go. I was lame. I couldn't walk. I was paralyzed. And all of a sudden, he told me to get up. I got up and I picked it up. Why? What's the problem? I'm walking. Can't you see? They're not concerned about the miracle. They're concerned about the law. You know some people like that in churches? They're more concerned about following the rules and seeing people changed in their lives. We don't see none in this church, right? I hope. Did you see? You got to be careful. There's more stuff than just rules. God likes rules. He actually puts rules for you and me to live by. But you see, the rules have no meaning unless there is the power of God working through you. Okay? Oh, my goodness. Well, I want you to think about that. Just two details of this passage. But now I want to get into the encounter between the guy at the pool and Jesus. And let's think about some things. Because he was in a certain condition. He was paralyzed. He was on the ground, couldn't move, couldn't do anything to get to the pool. What is your condition? Let me tell you. You see, John describes them. And John describes the people at the pool in verse 3. He says, and there lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. They were waiting, just sitting there. Some of them were standing, some of them were laying, some of them were sitting, who knows? But yet they just couldn't make it for themselves. You see, I want you to think of this, because I think that John is also talking about the people of Israel. That's why you see at the end of the story that the Jews, the religious people, are involved in the story. Because it's like, yo, you've been waiting. Just like this man paralyzed is waiting for the waters to be stirred up, the people of Israel have been waiting for the Messiah to show up. They had been just paralyzed. The people of Israel were lame, paralyzed. They were withered. They were blind. They just couldn't see. They just couldn't do for themselves, because they were expecting and waiting for God to show up, waiting for the Messiah, just like this man. So this man is a picture of the people of Israel in one sense. Actually, if you think about it, the people of Israel wandered in the desert for 38 years. We say 40 all the time. But if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, it says 38. It's just that we kind of round it up to 40 years in the desert. Just like this man had been like this for 38 years. The people of Israel have been wandering also. Now, I want you not to lose sight of the purpose of the miracles that we're seeing here. The glory of God, you know, the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in that we believe. You see, these are words that are not just to give you encouragement to stand up and to do and proclaim and claim and to ask and to seek and this and that. That's good, but that's not enough. You see, a lot of people see these passages like that, and you see the miracle that this man received. So stand up and claim your miracle. Yeah, go ahead. It works like that. You just claim it and it's yours. Does it, Jay? No, it doesn't. And why were you shaking over there? That's why I had to like, no. It doesn't work like that. Oh, my goodness. I want you to understand that these miracles that are described in the Bible are not just for us to be encouraged to seek and ask and look and just claim and proclaim. They are there because they want these miracles to show the glory of God and the Messiah, to reveal Jesus, so that we may believe in the Son of God, the one and only, the one who came to save our souls from the condemnation of eternal damnation in hell. That's the thing. You see, so that we may know his grace, so that we may know his mercy on us, so that we know that all of our trespasses and all of our sin and everything that we've committed against him, he himself decided to come down and pay the price for all that you and I have done against him on the cross, so that we could be healed from this infirmity, from this illness called sin that calls us unto death. That's the thing right there in a nutshell. You see, so the sin, our sin has left you and me has left us paralyzed, has rendered us incapable, left us hopeless. You see, we're incapable. We're just paralyzed. You see, the people of Israel were paralyzed. They were just waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Messiah. And some of us live our lives waiting for God to do something when he's done already so much. There's so many people out there that you talk to them about Jesus and they're like, I don't see it. You know, when I see it, then I'll believe. When God does something for me, then I'll come to him. When I see God doing this, then I'll come. With all this evil in the world, with all this stuff in the world, when I see all that changing, maybe I'll come to Jesus. See, you're paralyzed. Also, you're incapable. Look at the man. He tells Jesus, what are you talking about? Because he says, do you want to be healed? That was the question. You want to be healed? I mean, you would think that a man would say, yes, enthusiastically, yes, I want to be healed. But no, he starts talking about every time the water is stirred, I can't get there. No one can pick me up. No one picks me up. No one takes me there. As a matter of fact, they run over and they step all over me. Complaining. Because he's incapable. You see, sin renders us incapable to do anything for ourselves. And that leads to desperation or hopelessness. There is no hope for me. I have no cure. No one can save me. Maybe a divine act can do that for me. Well, yes, that's exactly what you need, a miracle. And Jesus can do that. But we can see that the eyes of these people were blinded. Just like today, so many are blinded. And they were religious. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says about this, in whose case the God of this world, Satan, the enemy, has blinded their minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, people are blinded by Satan. Our minds are obscured by the work of Satan so that we may not see the glory of Christ, so that we may not believe. That's what happens to lost people, of which I was one for many, many years. I could not see the light of God because I was blinded, spiritually blinded. I was incapable. Rendered me incapable. I was paralyzed. I was hopeless. Do you know any blind people, spiritually speaking? Do you know anyone who's paralyzed like that? Maybe there are some sitting right in here who need their eyes opened, who need the word of Jesus that says, get up and walk, be healed. Have you seen it? Maybe you see it in some of your family members. Maybe you see it in some of your friends and co-workers who say, why you even go to church? They brainwashed you. Why you even go there? Why you come every Sunday? Why are you changing like that? How come you don't want to do what we do anymore? How come you don't want to hang out with us anymore? I mean, of course, you may not want to tell them directly, but because you're blind and my eyes have been opened. You may get slapped, but it is the truth. They can't see it because they've been spiritually blinded. I mean, I can understand and I can imagine that only the people who needed healing were there. I mean, who would want to hang out with a bunch of outcasts like this? The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. I mean, who would want to hang out with all these sick people? The pool was multitudes of them. You see, but there's one who wants to come in the midst of those who are incapable, and that's Jesus. Jesus shows up in the picture, and he comes to the place where nobody wants to go. See, we can find hope even in the midst of our sin when we have an encounter with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 35, I want you to hear this for a sec. In verses 5 and 6, He promises. He says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Oh, wow. We're talking about water flowing. This is a pool. We're talking about all of these people being healed. There's a bunch of people there. What an amazing thing that we see in Isaiah being fulfilled through Christ Jesus, right? The mercy of God was in that place because Jesus showed up and he is the mercy of God personified. Now the problem is, do you want to be healed? That's the big question. Noting that this man had been like this for 38 years. 38 years. I want you to think of an interesting thought here right now also is that the latter encounter of Jesus with this man after he had been healed, he sees him at the temple. Wow, that's a good thing. You know what I mean? God does something for you, run to church, go to church. That's a good thing. And Jesus sees him, and when he sees him, he says, oh my God, it's so good to see you in church this morning, brother. He didn't say that. He said to him, sin no more, so nothing works comes over you. We'll talk about that in a second. Because Jesus did not say to this man, you are forgiven. You hear that? In some instances when people were healed by Jesus, Jesus said, you are forgiven. That's different from saying, you can walk now. You can walk now. That's very different from being healed physically. Being forgiven, it's another thing. It's on a higher level. So was this man saved by Jesus Christ? Did he believe? Did he have faith? It's not conclusive evidence in this passage that this man actually believed Jesus. Because he didn't say, I believe you can heal me. Yes, I want to be healed. He never recognized Jesus. Even when he was asked by the religious people, why are you carrying that pallet? He said, well, a man told me to pick it up and walk. Who was he? I don't know. A man showed up and told me, and I just did. Did he recognize that he was in having a personal encounter with God himself? We don't know. So the same way Jesus shows up in people's lives today. And now how does he show himself? Because a lot of times people are waiting for Jesus to show up. Let me tell you the way Jesus shows up is right here. You want to see Jesus, you better come to this. Because this is the ultimate latter revelation of Jesus Christ, his word. You have nothing bigger than this right here. You may be looking for an experience out there. You want to go by the river and see angels moving the waters. You want to see people get up and walk over the waters. I don't know. Maybe you're looking for somebody to heal somebody in your family. Maybe you're looking for a miracle. Start looking in here. This is Jesus right here. Apart from this, you're lost. The Word of God is a revelation that he's left for you and me. You see, those people, you may say, well, how lucky of them that they saw Jesus in the flesh. Well, let me tell you, if you want to talk about luck, how lucky are you that he left us this? Because this is all we've got. Well, I know the Holy Spirit is moving out there. You may experience some things, and that's great. But it's got to stem from this. This is the source. Period. The Word of Christ, the Word of God is the source. If you don't come to this, you don't come to Jesus. Simple as that. Without this, there is no Jesus. Can I make a little bit more emphasis on this? Without this, there is no Jesus. Because this is Jesus right here. The Word was made flesh, and the Word is right in front of you. You may be expecting somebody in a white robe to walk through here to say, hey, Jesus is here. But let me tell you, he's already been here. Better get into this, because this is it, his written word. But people don't want to hear it. People don't want to open their eyes to the word. Because that's not enough for them. Because they've been blinded by the enemy. Now, do you want to be healed? You don't have to wait for an angel to show up and stir up the waters, especially now that we need the water stirred up in the Mississippi, right? Jesus is here to stir up your heart to give you hope. So do you want to be healed? His word can do it. So what's your excuse? What's the excuse? I don't know about you, but I had 10,000 of excuses before I came to Jesus. You see, Jesus knew about this man, and he asked him if he wanted to be healed. Jesus knows everything. Did you know that? At least know that he knows everything, and we don't. And like I said, we would expect somebody to simply come and say, hey, yes, enthusiastically, I want to be healed. But instead, he began to give excuses. Yes, I want to be healed, but I have no help. I have nobody to carry me to the water. Well, Jesus can carry you. He can help. Well, I can't do this for myself. Every time I try, people get over there before me. I'm not fast enough. Well, Jesus can do it for you. No one cares. They step over me. Well, Jesus cares. What are your excuses? What are our excuses? You know, and normally and typically we think about excuses for that people make up to not come to church, because this is kind of the thing that we talk about, you know, coming and gathering and listening to the word and stuff and how important it is. And some people think it's not that important, but I can't do it right now. Well, go ahead and take my kids. You can go ahead and take my kids. I'll pick them up at the end of the service. Well, you know what? A man especially tells a wife, why don't you go ahead? Yeah, I'll watch the fort here. Right? Yeah, no problem. Well, we got visitors. This is a big excuse for some people. I got people visiting. Well, either leave them at your house or bring them over, but come on over. It doesn't matter. If they get mad at you, then that's their problem. Right? Okay. Well, you know, I got to wash some clothes. Sunday's is wash day. You may laugh. You may think, what? But let me tell you, in our second service, a lot of people use that excuse. I hate to do this, but it's the truth. Well, I got to go to work. I don't need it. Pastors are a bunch of liars. I've been lied to by a pastor before. Guess what? I lie to myself sometimes. Yeah. All the church wants is my money. Like you have that much, right? No, not every church does that, but some of them do. Well, you know what? It's to each their own, you know. They want to go. I don't need to go. I got my own ideas. Religion is for the foolish or the weak. Church is for the weak. Yeah, because you're so strong, right? There are a bunch of liars at church. I went to a church one time, and guess what? And they'll tell you a story. They fooled me. You see, you go to church, and all them people think that they're better than you. That's why I don't go. Well, you see, this book, it's so old. I don't know if it's true or not. And who's to tell me that they're using the correct one? There's a lot of ways to get to God. You go your way, I go my way. Have you ever heard stuff like that? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one, did you hear that word? No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are excuses, right? You know why we have all these excuses? Because it's a result of our illness. It's called sin. And we're blinded, we're limp, we're just incapable. We're handicapped. We can't see the truth. We can't see the reality. If only we would answer Jesus' question. Do you want to be healed? That's all he's asking. No excuses. But you see, not all will be healed. I want you to understand that too. Because Jesus could have came by the pool and said, everybody, get up. Oh, you can't see? Go ahead, open your eyes. You can't talk? Come on, say something. All right, good. All right, you're over there laying up. I want you to stand up. You pick up your bed. Angel, go back to heaven. You don't need to stir waters no more because I'm here. Everybody, come on, let's go. Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have just said, be healed. And everybody would have been healed at once instantaneously. But he didn't. Jesus came to one person out of the multitude and came directly to this man and said, do you want to be healed? I want you to think about this for a second. Only those who Jesus speak to. You see, Jesus speaks to the heart of people. Not all will listen. Not all will respond. Jesus is personal. Jesus is not about the multitude. It's about the personal relationship. Jesus even chooses, and that may sound a little cruel, that Jesus chooses those who will be saved. You see why he can't do that? Because he knows it all. He will choose those who will be saved. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 tells us that very clear and in other places. Even Jesus said, you would not come to me unless it was given to you by the Father. You will not come to Jesus unless God makes you and attracts you and brings you to Jesus. Only those who have been chosen will experience the true healing. Now, some people may be healed from their infirmities physically. But spiritually, not all. We don't choose who gets saved. Sometimes we tend to play God and say, oh, I will not talk to that person about Jesus. They don't deserve it, really. Did you deserve it? You undeserving fool, David Rodriguez, starting with me. Come on. We don't. God chooses in his sovereign knowledge because he knows whose faith, who believes, who has faith. Why? Because God knows exactly who will hear his voice and answer. Only those who hear his voice. See, we've been, like I said, blinded and we've been deafened by the enemy. God knows exactly who responds to this, to his word. And Jesus knocks down all of the excuses. He just says, pick up your pallet and walk. After all the excuses. And the man did exactly what Jesus said. The Bible says that he got up immediately and walked. And as he was walking away, he finds these religious people. But you see, only those who believe in him, not all will be healed, not all will be saved. This shows us that, you see, you got to be careful with what people are preaching out there. You see, the Bible says that we're our brothers and sisters. No, the Bible doesn't say that. You see, at the end, we will all be saved. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Why would God create a hell? Why would God talk about casting people to hell if he was going to save everybody anyway? That's a waste of time and effort. Actually, Jesus said, the door that leads to condemnation, the door that leads to hell, the door that leads to perdition, it's wide, it's big, and many will go through it. But the door that leads to salvation, the door that leads to God, the door that leads to heaven, it's narrow, and only a few will walk through it. You see, there will be more people going to hell than people going to heaven, unfortunately. That's not God's fault. That's you and me, the sinner. I want you to think about that because not all will be healed, not all will be saved. And last but not least, Jesus' power and mercy. We need to see this in this passage. The power to heal, but also the mercy that he extends. You see, a word from Jesus is enough. And this is what Ed was praying this morning over me. A word from Jesus is enough. All Jesus said was, pick up your pallet and walk. Pick up your bed and walk. Well, for us, at least make your bed in the morning. You know, you don't have to pick it up and take it with you, but at least make your bed. You know, instantaneously, this man gets up. Can you imagine all of the people that were around and watching, like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't see him get in the pool. What just happened here? This man's been here for years, and now he's walking. How did that happen? A simple word of Christ. You see, I want you to understand that man cannot do for himself. The man could have never gotten up and do this. No matter how much people cheered him. No matter how much Jesus would have cheered him and us together. Like, come on, man, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. It's not going to work unless there's a miracle. Unless there's the power of God. Unless the mercy of God is upon that person. The work of Jesus among you and me. The work of Jesus in you and me is the only way. That's the way things happen. If God is not working, you can't do it. You see, let me tell you the progression here as we can see it. First of all, Jesus gives the word. First of all, Jesus speaks. He approaches the man. He says, do you want to be healed? Blah, 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 blah. All excuses. And Jesus answered, just get up and walk. Quit with the excuses. Well, he didn't say that, right? I said that. But he just said the word. And when Jesus pronounces his word, you see, the word of God has power. The word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that it is like a two-edged sword that penetrates all the way to the deepest, the core of ourselves, and changes and transforms and does the work. Then the man picks up his bed and he starts walking, only because he heard Jesus prompt him, only because Jesus commanded, only because Jesus has the power. The power was not within the man. You may also experience God's power and even some mercy, but have you believed? And this is where I want to think for a second. This man and Jesus, there's a couple of things that we need to examine. First of all, there's no evidence in his words that he actually believed in Christ and was converted and saved. Yet, we cannot say that he was opposed to Jesus either. I mean, after what happened, who knows? He might have gotten saved, but there's no clear evidence here. Number two, he did not even know who he was healed by. He didn't even know Jesus until Jesus met him at the temple. Oh, this is the guy who healed me. And Jesus then says, go and sin no more. So nothing worse happens to you. So it seems strange that the man did not actively seek a relationship with Jesus. You see that in some of the people? Jesus healed them. They're like, want to follow him. They want to come with him. They want to go with him. And Jesus said, just shut up and stay in your village. Just don't say nothing for now. Or he says, go to the priest and show him what happened. You remember the leper? He told the leper, go to the priest and do what you have to do. Comply with the law and show yourself to them. Because the man was like, I'm going to come with you. No, you don't. But this man didn't even say, oh, you saved me. I want to follow you. But he went to the temple. So that tells me that this man also is recognizing that his healing came from God, from his God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. So he went to the temple probably to pay his respects, to be thankful, and to even sacrifice or give offerings for his healing. See, no doubt that this man went to give thanks to God and to offer these sacrifices. Yeah. But it seems strange that the man did not actively seek this closer relationship with Jesus after he had healed him. I mean, have you ever seen that? I mean, the man probably was very thankful for the gift, but was he thankful for the giver? Have you ever seen that? People are so thankful for a gift, but they forget the giver. What has God done for you? Well, he wants to heal you if you haven't yet. Maybe you've been waiting for somebody to rescue you. Maybe you're waiting for something to happen in your life. Maybe you're waiting for the move of God. You know, you hear that a lot in churches. We see the move of God coming. Move to this. This is where it's moving. This is where it's shaking. This is where it's stirring. This is where it happens. You see, then some people are waiting for something to happen so that then they'll take the step forward. And then I'll follow. Maybe you're like this man, just waiting for somebody to help you. Maybe you're in silence. Maybe you felt like you've been abandoned. Maybe you're in secretly in your heart thinking, I need something and I don't know what it is. Maybe you're like this man thinking, nobody hears me. Everybody just steps over me. Nobody gives me a hand. Maybe you're in the midst of some pain in your life and you're looking for some relief. You see, Jesus can alleviate your pain. Jesus can help you. Jesus can heal you, all with one word. And he's speaking to you today. Have you heard him? He wants to heal your heart. He wants to give you rest. Rest for your soul. This is rest that endures forever in his arms. His loving arms. Those arms that were extended on the cross for you and me. Have you heard his voice today? Do you want to be healed? Because if you do, what you have to do is stand up and walk to Jesus.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.